You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall, as well as my absent co-host, Chris Thornton, who you can find at @MistoCristofo if you're looking for bad draft takes, which there will be plenty of, I'm sure, coming from both accounts, and I'm just messing with him for a take he dropped in my group chat tonight that I'm going to keep private for now so I don't embarrass him too much. He wasn't able to make it. He's been working a lot of hours at work, and I think he just needed the night off after what was a pretty uneventful bye week for the Jaguars. We didn't really do too many pods. We just kind of wanted to let everyone get their week off. And now we're back to it, covering this team who is trying to shake off a four-game losing streak. It's kind of a fresh start to the second half of the season off of a bye week following a loss to the Eagles in London. And they got some good news to start their week, and that's how we're going to start off this podcast. And that is, a lot of players are returning from injury by the looks of it this week, and we're going to break that all down. But first, go ahead and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can find us just looking up LockedOnJaguars.com. We finally did it. We've broken 50 ratings, averaging the 4 out of 5 stars. We thank every one of you who left a rating for us and a review. It's truly, truly appreciated. October, we shattered 10,000 listens, which is our most in a month by far. So once again, just really appreciate everyone that's been listening to the show and giving us feedback, the good and the bad, interacting with us on Twitter about the show and the site. So be sure to keep on listening and checking it out and supporting the local podcast. So we'll go ahead and get right into it with the injured players who appear to be coming back this upcoming week. Per numerous reports, and it was kind of odd because none of the official Jaguars media were 100% consistent on who they saw out there, but I'm going to take all the names that I have seen that have popped up that they've said came back and use that in this. Leonard Fournette is the most obvious one. He went through individual drills and was out there practicing for the first time since re-injuring his hamstring in week 4 against the New York Jets. He's been held out of practice ever since then. He missed, 6 games so far this season. Now they traded for Carlos Hyde because of how much time Fournette had missed due to this hamstring injury that either has really been bothering him or he likes to take his sweet time to recover from it. But regardless, he is back out there now, which makes you think if he's not ready this week, he's going to be ready probably next week. But I would almost assume that they'll put him back out there on a snap count against the Colts. And if he re-injures that hamstring, we're talking serious, serious issues if going through a bye week through week 9 after re-injuring it week 4 isn't enough for you. I don't really know what to tell you other than this is some serious stuff, or Fournette's got a serious issue in terms of recovering from injuries. But we'll just have to kind of play that by ear, see how he does during the week. I would not be surprised if he is active and on a snap count, mixing it up with TJ Yeldon and Carlos Hyde this upcoming week against the Indianapolis Colts in Indy. The other players that have returned from injury as well are DJ Hayden, who's been out since week 3 with a turf toe injury, at least the assumption is turf toe. They're calling it a toe injury, but I can't imagine any toe injury lasting this long other than turf toe that can significantly damage your toe, obviously. So that's something we talked to Dr. Aaron Bates about, former Jaguars team doctor, a couple weeks ago. He said that this could be not a long-term thing, but when you think toe, then you're thinking it's a long-term thing because those injuries won't normally hold you out unless they're serious, like a turf toe. But he was back out on the field today. Tyler Patman, who filled in for Hayden most of the time at nickel corner, who was out with a neck injury this past week that he suffered against the Texans, was back on the field as well. So they're starting to get that cornerback depth back just after losing Quinton Meeks, who went from practice squad to spot reserve guy as corner started to go down to starter for filling in for AJ Bouye against the Eagles, who did a decent job and then kind of messed up his knee. Apparently, the reports are it wasn't too serious, but we'll just have to see how he's going to recover from that at this point. But luckily, a lot of the guys are starting to get healthy back at cornerback, which is huge for this team. Obviously, cornerback is one of the stronger positions, at least very top-heavy for this team, so seeing them all healthy is good. However, one guy has not returned just yet, and that's AJ Bouye himself, dealing with a calf injury that held him out of the Eagles game. So we're going to have to see how he nurses that. It wouldn't shock me if he doesn't play this week. However, the return of both Hayden and Patman, as well as having Herndon back, hoping that Meeks can come along soon. You're starting to get a better feel for this cornerback group because as of last week, when Meeks went down, the starters were going to be Ramsey and Dee Delaney. And Dee Delaney, to a lot of people, that might be a fake name, but he was a camp body that the Jaguars signed from the University of Miami as a undrafted free agent this past offseason. They kept him around for just that reason. When they got really, really low, they had to promote him. Last week was the first time he had ever been promoted from the practice squad, last week being against the Eagles about a week and a half ago, I should say. And he would have ended up being the starter if these guys didn't start making their way back as quickly as they did, or maybe Herndon would have started outside and Delaney inside. But regardless, we're starting to see that group get healthy. James O'Shaughnessy was also back out of practice. He missed the past two games with a hip injury. Keep in mind, the Jaguars have put Austin Seferian Jenkins and Niles Paul, the starter and the key backup at tight end, on injured reserve already this year. O'Shaughnessy was set to make his first career start, and he was an intriguing guy, a guy I've been a fan of since the team signed him, or claimed him, I should say, in September of 2017. They've used him in a really, really small role in the offense. But with injuries starting to hurt the team at tight end, he started to see a bit of a bigger role. He was going to get his first start, and then in his first practice as the listed starter, hurt his hip, has been out ever since. Now that he's coming back, he should probably take over the starting role, and I'm really curious to see what he can do in this offense as more of a spread-out receiver, not just a really short, simple conversion style of tight end. I'm sure they'll try and give him some of the routes that they tried to give to Austin Seferian Jenkins with him out there as a starter. So we'll just have to see how they want to bring these guys along. Obviously, the main guys that you're going to want to watch for are Leonard Fournette, as he has been the focal point of talking about injuries at this point, as he's the focal point of this Jaguars offense. And if he'll be ready to suit up on Sunday, like I said before, could be a real issue if he's not ready to go by Sunday after being able to, what looks like he'll be able to practice this entire week since he had a nice, easy start on Monday following a bye week. If he can't finish out the rest of the week practicing and can't play, like, this is really bad and really indicative of maybe the way he rehabs himself from injuries at this point. So he's storyline number one, and I'd say Bouye is probably storyline number two. See how he recovers from that calf injury, and we'll just have to go from there. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the next biggest storyline in Jacksonville. One not so good as all of these returning injuries, and that more so being the return to a lack of prime time for this Jacksonville Jaguars team.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid.
So the NFL has decided that they will be flexing the Jaguars-Steelers Sunday night football game out of that NBC primetime spot. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth will not be making the trip to Jacksonville in Week 11 to cover Jaguars versus Steelers. That's what happens when you're on a four-game losing streak, 3-5 on the year, and really just disappointing everyone that built up a ton of hype for the team. And it's really unfortunate to say. I was really looking forward to the game being in prime time. I think Jacksonville deserves more prime time than one Tennessee game a year, which is normally on Thursday night. It's normally a really boring game. I want to see, you know, the Steelers used to be a rivalry game, right? Like 10 years ago, back in the last time the Jaguars beat the Steelers in the playoffs, besides this past year, when they went to Heinz Field and beat them twice. And they played each other once every year, once every 2 years, and it was always somewhat of a rivalry dating back to the AFC Central days. People enjoyed watching that game, and I figured this would probably be a really great Sunday night game. Probably end up seeing the Jaguars rock and teal on national television, which is exactly what this fan base wanted to see. They wanted to see the national relevancy. They wanted Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth here. You know, when you see those NBC RVs sitting outside of the stadium, that this game is a pretty big deal. And it's just, you know, it's unfortunate, and it's going to be, it's now been flexed to 1 o'clock. I think it was the Chicago Bears and Minnesota Vikings have been flexed into that time spot, which as of now probably is the better game of the two, which is unfortunate. The Vikings have not been as hot as everyone expected them to be, but as the Bears have been on a bit of a hot streak with their second-year quarterback Mitch Trubisky, and the Vikings do seem to be finally getting things to click a little bit better than they were to start the season, having Kirk Cousins in-house on the largest guaranteed quarterback contract ever, completely guaranteed. There's definitely a lot more storylines, you'd think, there than the what appears to be one-year wonder Jaguars who have slipped up going against the Steelers, who I guess the storyline you can pull there is how they've done without Le'Veon Bell, but that's been a conversation week in and week out that I don't think one primetime game of the five or so primetime games the Steelers get every year is really going to make that drastic of a difference. So with that, that means the Jaguars are going to have one primetime game left. I'm blanking on the week. It's a couple weeks after the fact. It is a Thursday night game against Tennessee in Tennessee. No color rush this time from what we can tell in terms of the Jaguars won't be wearing their gold uniforms like they have the past two times. I'm pretty sure they played Tennessee in night football games. They were wearing the gold, and you're not going to see that. However, you might still be seeing an ugly football game at this point, much like we saw in week three with a final score of, what, like 9-6 or something like that. I've tried to erase that game from my memory at this point. But just the way things have been trending, this Jacksonville Jaguars team probably doesn't deserve that national spotlight. But at the same time, you got to really hope that the bye week has helped this team try and turn things around. Doug Marrone's been taking a lot of the blame, and that's great and all, and you love to see a coach taking responsibility for what's going on. But if you're going to take responsibility, you need to own it and make some changes. You can't just say, oh yeah, it's my fault, and then not make any changes and assume that everyone's just going to be like, oh well, he said it's his fault, so I guess it's his fault, and that's all we really need to hear. I'm not saying you go Jack Del Rio on these guys and start blaming players individually. Like when Greg Olsen back in 2000, God knows when, publicly came out and trashed Blaine Gabbert when he was his starting quarterback. Whether it was right or wrong based on Gabbert's performance, it was right. At the same time, there's a limit. You don't come out here and publicly to the press trash your own starting quarterback. That's not how it works. And Doug Marrone's not that type of guy to do that either. But you do have to see some changes. You need to see some guys starting to lose snaps if they're underperforming. We saw them try to do that for a half of a football game with Blake Bortles and Cody Kessler. That obviously didn't stick. And the starting lineup has pretty much remained the same from what we can tell. So we need to start seeing some guys get moved around, some guys get less snaps, some guys get more snaps. They need to start trying things. Otherwise, it looks like they're just trying to ride out the season with what they have. And a four-game losing streak, and you're trying to ride out with what you have, just doesn't seem like the good thing to do. So we'll see if the Jaguars can turn it around and see whether or not they deserve to have that Sunday night football game. But at this point, they obviously didn't. NBC obviously agrees, and the NFL obviously agrees, because the Jaguars will be playing at 1 o'clock, not this upcoming Sunday, but the Sunday after, against the Pittsburgh Steelers in TIA Bank Field. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the very tragic loss of former Jaguars guard Vince Manuai, who passed away this past weekend.
We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
So this will be a really quick, short segment. I just wanted to go ahead and give a little rest in peace to Vince Manuai, former Jaguars star guard. He passed away this past weekend in his new home in Hawaii, or it might have been apartment, one way or another. At the end of the day, he did pass away. The report is that he was moving into a new house or apartment, and he fell, he collapsed and died, and there was no suspicion of foul play, anything like that. Now, we don't know any more of it, whether it was some form of perhaps cardiac arrest where he just fell and collapsed, or something going on, you know, inside of him, or maybe he slipped while he was moving. There's no further report on that, and I don't know if we'll ever get that report. And with respect to the family, I think I totally understand that we may not ever get that. But really sad to hear. He was only 38 years old. He was a star for the Jaguars. He played for the Jaguars for 8 years. People came out and said like he was one of the most powerful guards that they ever went against. Doug Marrone actually told a really great story on his Monday press conference about Manuai when he was scouting. I forget what team he said he was coaching for at the time, but he was coaching for a team and called Manuai to, you know, come out and scout him and some other offensive linemen. And they had to meet in California because Marrone said that no one on the team would pay for him to go to Hawaii just to scout guys, which I thought was really funny. They needed to meet halfway, and Manuai came to California with some other teammates. And Marrone said that he would hold the bags when he was a lot younger and able to actually take on these linemen somewhat and not constantly get knocked around by them when he's holding the bags and they block. And Manuai stepped up, hit the bag, and Marrone, quote-unquote, got knocked straight on his ass. And he said that that apparently went viral. Everyone talked about how Marrone got abused by Manuai there, and he just came back and said, yeah, man, like, that dude's real powerful. And I thought that was really cool to hear from Marrone. Obviously, he has no Jaguars connection to Manuai, but it was cool for him to come out and acknowledge. The team issued a statement as well saying, we are saddened by the news of Vince Manuai's passing. Vince was a quiet, strong, reliable, and respected member of the Jaguars family for 8 seasons. Throughout his career, he was a key part of our offensive line, and the way he went about doing his job was a great example for his teammates and others. We offer our condolences, our thoughts, and our thanks to the Manuai family in remembrance of Vince. Vince is survived by his 6 children. He was 38 years old. And with that, that should just about do it for us here at Locked On Jaguars. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at @Zach_Goodall, as well as Chris at @MistoCristofo, and the Locked On Jaguars handle, of course, at Locked On Jaguars. If you're a big fan of ours, keep hitting that subscribe button, keep leaving the ratings, check out the site, as well as Chris has launched a spirit shop I believe the site is squadlocker.com. He's got the link up on his Twitter page. I've got it on mine. Locked On Handles got it as well. We're not making any money off of this. This isn't a money grab. Just if you're a true fan of the podcast and you're trying to, you know, get out and support us in the community, we sell a lot of different cool stuff. I'm drinking out of a Locked On Jaguars coffee mug as we speak. We got cool stuff like hats, polos, hoodies, shirts. I think we got backpacks, and Chris said he had the option of, I believe, 2,000 plus different items he could have added to the store. He's just putting a lot of stuff on there slowly, picking out the best stuff. We got a mix of the old logo, the traditional one, the one with our names on it, as well as Noah Thomas's quickly modified cool version of the Jaguars skyline, the Jacksonville skyline with the Locked On Jaguars name in front of it. So a lot of different options there. You can check that all out on our Twitter pages. We've got the links up there. And we will catch up with you guys later.